Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hour number two here of Sports Saturdays. We're live out of Big O Tires in the Legends. You can come by and see us. You can register to win Boulevardia tickets. Or, you can just have Boulevardia tickets. How about that? If you come in and tell me that Rudy was a failure for not taking Ronaldo, then you can have these passes to Boulevardia.
Yeah,
also,
just blame Rudy.
Additional programming. I don't know what Rudy kept threatening that he was going to take too many Spanish players, so I don't know.
He did take two Spaniards.
Yeah, but then he missed the guy who's the best player in Spain in the regular season.
And who? Nice. So Rudy's a Real Madrid player, fan, and he didn't want to draft Cristiano Ronaldo for some reason. I think my influencing of saying, "Oh, we have to take Messi," might have had something to do with it.
That's fine. I mean, hey, obviously Messi's a pretty good player. No one's going to argue with that, right? And we can just hope that Ronaldo gets knocked out in, like, the first round of the knockout stage. Our goal is still longevity here, man. Messi could get a hat trick at any point in the World Cup. We just need him to keep playing forever.
And if you watch the match, like we were talking about, Iceland was literally putting nine people defensively back in the back half or back third of their side of the ball.
Yeah.
So there was no space. They were checking Messi the whole time. He did have a couple of opportunities. He got stopped on a PK. And he had a couple of late chances late. One hit a teammate, actually. He kicked one right into the wall. And as I was telling you during one of the breaks, he was maybe a foot wide of putting one away on what would have been a brilliant strike. So he did have some good opportunities. I'm optimistic still, Cody. We had Paul Pogba score a goal earlier today. I think we're in good shape still. We're doing better than the program. I can confirm that. And to quote Connell, when I was talking with him at the player pool, he said that some of the guys Nate drafted, he said, "Oh, Nate's lost his marbles."
What team was Connell on, by the way?
He was on the Border Patrol.
That's BS. Connell's additional programming all the way. He works weekends, dude.
Agreed. And I've had him as a guest on this very show a few times. So, yeah, I don't know how that's fair. Plus, he's Irish. I don't know. We have Rudy, who's of Spanish descent. We like all the people who, I don't know, work random hours.
Yes, we should get all the random hours people. That's confirmed. That's us. That's additional programming. That's our whole group. I'm disappointed that we didn't get him. That's all. Just throwing it out there as a possibility of frustration over the fact that, now I don't know that Connell was saying Nate lost his mind, so obviously Connell wasn't pushing Nate around to get some better players.
Well, Nate,
are we doing better than them?
I'm sure we have to be. Nate also, you know how he is. Obviously, he thinks that he's right and he's this soccer guru. He is not, though. So I think that we're going to be in better shape. The only team that worries me is BTL, which, shout out to Shane for showing up. Nobody else.
And taking Ronaldo immediately.
Sure, but yeah, nobody else. Lebo, I'm talking to you. But yeah, I don't know. I think we have a good chance of at least finishing in second in the 8-10 programming. The sporting teams, I just anticipate all of them will beat us.
Good news. Pizza is here, Chad. And there are 20 of them, and people should come eat it. We're at the Big O Tires at Legends, and I'm not kidding. There are legitimately 20 pizzas here. So come eat pizza with me, because I like company, and you like pizza. Because you're a human, and I assume that you like pizza. That doesn't seem like a stretch to me, right? We all agree everybody likes pizza. And if you don't, I have questions about you. I question your very core, if that's the case. So the pizza's here. We're Big O Tires at the Legends. There is plenty of it. So please come out and see us. The pizza, obviously courtesy of Pizza Hut, who's decided to come here and support. So that
pizza,
is
pizza,
certainly
pizza,
nice.
Pizza, 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 pizza.
Jed, I'm hoping that there's enough for you, buddy. I really hope so.
Yeah, I am,
just
too. I'm stuck
sake.
Here until 5, so it'd be nice
delicious,
to have a
delicious
meal.
Delicious Pizza Hut pizza, which is apparently 60 years old, by the way. They're also offering deals, not just Big O. $7.99, large two-topping pizza, online only. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Minimum purchase, Ford delivery required. Jed, all right, so let's get into some of this stuff because we're going to talk about this with Andy Edwards here in a minute.
Yes.
At the very least, I want to get some idea of, or give people some idea. For example, Iceland is the smallest country ever to play, right? We heard that in the Sports Center episode. They're a tiny country by comparison to the teams that are going to be in this. Now, we're going to get more countries like Iceland moving forward because once they go, what is it, 20? It's the first year in the U.S., right? The North American World Cup where they expand out to 48 teams.
Yes.
So presumably we'll see more teams like Iceland getting through. But this will show you like what you can do in one game of soccer. Now, this won't work. This strategy won't work forever because Iceland gave too many opportunities to Argentina, including multiple PKs, right, late in the game. But you can try to battle through a point like that. Like, soccer will allow you to do that. Like you said, man, you can just put nine guys in a box and try to, like, grind out some game. The second they got the equalizer, they played that way pretty much the rest of the time, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a frustrating game to watch, especially if you're more of a soccer purist, I guess, like I am, to make it sound like a total elitist Richard statement. But but I guess, yeah, it's boring to watch. But it does show the excellence of Messi in the fact that he was able to still create and get opportunities. As you said, though, Iceland completely dominated in what they wanted to do defensively. They're just so big. I mean, I don't know if you really you didn't have a great vantage point because you're out there at Big O Tires giving away free pizza.
I can see it a little bit.
But the guys, I think their smallest guy was 5'11 on their team. So just with that kind of size, they were just able to muscle around the Argentinian team.
Well, and honestly, nothing's prepared me. I sent that tweet out earlier. They legitimately just look up the grown-up version of the Iceland team from the Mighty Ducks, too.
They did. Everyone had to have been a Viking or like a body double for the movie Thor. It was wild looking at all those dudes. The dude who had the ball, he had a completely shaved head and then this giant beard. Rudy was like, where'd that guy come from? Like, was he just living on a glacier somewhere?
Like, we always joke about, like, Iowa fed. What are they feeding them in Iceland? What cold weather potato food are they basing their diet on? Did they just round up, like, at 8 years old, they're like, listen, we're Iceland and we want to be in the World Cup, so we're going to do this now. Now, somebody go through the entire country. And by the way, again, not that big. Wichita, Kansas has a population 50,000 people larger than Iceland, the country. And they're like, so we're going to drive through all of Iceland and just pick up the 10 biggest humans that exist in Iceland, and we're going to teach them how to play soccer. Is that how that went, I assume?
Yeah, you'd think so. I don't know. Iceland's a pretty proud country, as I Wikipedia'd some of the more famous Icelanders.
Hey, we can go to Iceland now from KCI, man.
Direct flight. Absolutely.
Direct. I don't know if I needed to promote Icelandic Air or whatever it is, but
I had a friend who used to intern here way back in the day, Jack Weinstein. He and his wife went to Iceland for, gosh, maybe their wedding anniversary, like their 10-year anniversary or something. The pictures that he posted on Instagram were some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. He actually got to witness Aurora Borealis. My goodness, I would love to go to Iceland. It looked so cool.
Same. I just want to avoid the bully Icelandic team while I'm out there. And that's what it was. I mean, for Argentina, for us, like when we're looking at like a personal World Cup team, which everybody doesn't care about our personal fantasy team, but you're looking
that's
a big win for Iceland. That's a big win for Iceland. Being able to get a draw against Argentina is big, especially because this has been kind of the, like, every game is so close for some of these teams. I guess not Russia in their first opening match, but you know, like, France didn't look particularly good against Australia, a team that they're supposed to be a pretty good favorite against, and it wasn't until Pogba scored that goal in, I don't know, the 81st minute he didn't do anything for the rest of the game and then just waited to score a goal. And Uruguay barely got past Egypt because they had a goal in, like, what was it, the 90th minute?
Morocco got their goal. 88th minute in the Uruguay game. They had oh, gosh, what was it? Just outside the box, or maybe it was a PK. No, it was just outside the box that hit the crossbar, and then they got a foul called and got the set-piece corner to win the game 1-0. But Egypt,
on a good header, too, but still, man, 88th minute's brutal.
And, I don't know, Egypt, you have to feel horrible for them because they had played so well up until that last point. Just giving away fouls, though, in the last few minutes really cost them. But to do that all without Mohamed Salah, who, if people don't know, is one of the best scorers in the entire world. He had 43 goals in English Premier League this year, which is ridiculous. So, to do that without one of the 10 best players in the world. Insane. You have to. My heart breaks for Egypt.
My heart does not break for the program who had Salah on their team.
Yeah, he was a late pick because he is injured, which is was foolish to pick them because Rob's a doofus. This is. I like how this is really just boiled into taking shots at people who work here.
Yeah, Rudy for screwing up the Ronaldo pick. Rob for taking Salah.
Just being an idiot in general.
Mm-hmm.
Lebo
yeah,
for no-showing the draft.
And still getting Ronaldo. He doesn't deserve that.
No, no. Who else?
That team doesn't deserve
it. We crapped all over Nate, too, or at least I did. So that was
good.
Yeah,
you did. You did. Man, we've really covered our bases, man. Is there a show we haven't picked on yet? No, that's all three. That's all three and four, if you include us picking on, if like Rudy is, if we include show four is additional programming, which is what our team name was, obviously, moving forward there. I guess in the other match, because we can talk about the one a little bit later, and we'll get into these a little bit more detail with Andy Edwards, but the Spain-Portugal match was obviously the most interesting because it was nuts, and Ronaldo never stopped scoring goals, including in the fourth minute, and then I think he got one right before half and then right before the 90th minute. So, you know, between that matchup and that, but I don't know, someone might have pointed out, and it actually might be a more apt comparison than we think, that entire Portugal team might rest in the hands of Cristiano Ronaldo.
It literally does. The entire Spanish team is essentially Real Madrid, which is why we have so many Spaniards. Again, Rudy being a Real Madrid guy. But Ronaldo was ridiculous. The rest of the team really didn't do anything. Spain was the better overall team. One of the goals that Ronaldo scored was a little bit of a cheapie. The keeper certainly should have played the ball. He didn't, so it counts. But, yeah, Portugal will literally only go as far as Ronaldo goes. But even with three goals right now, he has to be still odds-on favorite to win the Golden Boot, even if they only make it to the round of 16, let's say.
That's stupid. I feel like, I guess it depends on how you look at it. This is like the MVP debate in baseball. Like, should you be able to win the MVP on a losing team if you're the best player in baseball? Man, I don't know. If you miss, like, if you can't even get your team past, like, 50% of the teams, that seems so bad to me. Like, I don't, should you be able to win it just for that? Certainly somebody will get more than three goals somewhere along the way, right? Total? I would think so. It seems only logical that that would be the case. Jed, I can't even imagine a world where somebody wouldn't. 913-3810-810 is the number. We're going to talk more about this with Andy Edwards coming up here in a few minutes. Just real quick, the Royals lineup is out for today. It's a lineup. Prepare yourself accordingly. Whit Merrifield, Mike Moustakas, Salvador Perez, that all sounds mostly fine, right? Then Hunter Dozier is hitting fourth. Alex Gordon hitting fifth. Alcides Escobar is hitting sixth. Abraham Almonte is hitting seventh. Drew Butera is hitting eighth. And Ryan Goins is hitting ninth. Thoughts?
Sorry about that. I was on the phone. I didn't even hear what you were saying, so I'll go ahead and decline my thoughts.
No, I quickly gave, I was talking about the game, and then I quickly gave an update because the Royals lineup came out in that time. And so I said,
ooh,
oh, just to you real quick. Whit Merrifield, Mike Moustakas, Salvador Perez. Hunter Dozier is hitting fourth. Gordon,
ugh,
fifth. Escobar, sixth.
Ugh.
Abraham, seventh. Butera, eighth.
Ugh.
And Ryan Goins, ninth. I've spent a lot of time this year talking about how this isn't the 2005 Royals, 2006 Royals.
No, that is.
That lineup is firmly in that.
Oh,
category.
My. Yeah, I don't like that lineup one bit. Is Whit Merrifield at least? No, because Goins is in, so he couldn't be playing second base.
Whit's in right.
He's in
the
right.
Jorge Soler injury.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, that's pretty bad.
that feels like such an understatement in that. Such an understatement. The
words I actually wanted to say, Cody, we'd get in a lot of trouble for. So I just left it with, that's bad.
So we're not allowed to say some of those things. Oh, boy.
Well, I don't know. It'd be really on me to push a button. So, yeah, go crazy.
Hey,
no,
we
don't do
risk?
That.
But before we go to the calls, we want to talk a little bit about the matches. Before I get to those, is there any chance that are we at risk of Argentina missing the knockout stage?
No, we'll be fine. They got a point today. They should. I mean, they're one of the favorites, Cody. Have a little faith. Rudy's not that. I mean, out of all
I'm
the people on the team, you
worried.
Put your faith in me and Rudy. So if our best player goes out, that's on you and Charlie and Josh for being idiots. Rudy and I are stupid people. You know that. You work with both of us all the time.
Yeah, but all I would have done is pulled up like somebody's top 20 list and just crossed off names. And
which is essentially what we did. We just stretched it out to like 200 people. But we knew the top 25 players. You throw those guys in a hat. I mean, maybe if Messi would have had 3 goals and Ronaldo would have had 0, would you have been all that shocked? It just happened to be how the soccer gods wanted it to go today, Cody. Don't freak out.
I did.
You're
the,
a gambler.
I have
do you know how
8-10.
It goes?
Oh, true. I did win the 8-10 Fantasy Football League back-to-back year, so I probably shouldn't complain. Taking down all those sales guys and Curtis.
Oh, Curtis would be satisfying to beat
Jed,
him.
I've successfully taken down sales and Curtis now. We've trashed everybody at the station so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, that's just about everybody.
Woo!
Can we get Drake somehow?
Yeah. Maybe. Let's go to the callers, 913-3818. And James called in, wanted to talk about the matches. What's going on, James?
No, I don't want to talk about soccer. I wanted to talk about baseball.
I'm open to that, too. Let's hear it.
Well, here's my thing, Cody. You and I have talked before, and I think I've asked you this once, but it was at the top of the hour, so it was kind of like, eh, whatever.
Sure.
I understand. I don't have a problem with that. So I thought I'd bring it back up, but I've modified it a little bit. You and I have talked about, or I've talked to you anyway. I've called in and talked about how we can speed up baseball and some other options. So here's what my plan was this. We're going to take the financial thing and just throw it in the river, because the union can figure that part out. If I was the commissioner of baseball, I would make this rule, and baseball can figure out if they want to play by these rules or not. And if they don't, guess what? Next year, we're playing by them whether you like them or not. You can figure out the financials, okay? So here's my proposal. First things first, you put all the freaking stadiums back to where they originally were built. I'm sorry you can't hit a home run 410 feet. Too bad. Go do something. That's my first thing. My second thing that can speed up baseball is quit giving everybody a 30-second intro song. Who cares what your song is when you come up to the plate? I don't care. There's 40 minutes right there. Just the home team gets it. Just play when you need a rally. There's a half hour right there. And then my other scenario is this, and I don't care how many roster spots you need or whatever, that's why I say throw all the financials in the river. But no pitcher's going to hit, and you put out a rover, because I'm tired of them telling me that they're going to try to get rid of the ship, because that doesn't make sense. That's like telling football players that CPs have to play 5 yards in instead of wherever they want. You know what I mean?
I'm not trying to change baseball at all.
I mean, I like some of the rules at second base and home plate. I like that. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle there because we don't have a $50 million second baseman, but we have a decent catcher, so I like to keep my catcher healthy. But I'm kind of in the middle when it comes. But you see where I'm at? I mean, I can deal with some of these rule changes. I don't have a problem with it. I like baseball, it is, but they want to speed it up. This is one way to speed it up. Because when you hit a home run, those guys don't run very fast. But if you hit it off the wall, they're running as fast as they can. Maybe they can turn it into a triple or something. You see what I'm saying?
I appreciate the call, James. Yeah, I understand, like, one, the intro music doesn't really make a difference because they're still going to walk slow, right? We agree to that, Jed? They're still just going to walk to the biggest part of speeding it up. I don't know, who was it that was on with Seren, who like literally broke down a game today versus a game then, right? Same rules, same number of outs, same number of hits, same number of pitching changes. And the game like 40 years ago was about a half hour slower. And it's like, all right, well, what's the difference? Like, people just move slower. Like, people come to the plate slower. The key is like actually enforcing the rules is fairly simple. Just tell people that they have to stay in the box and actually enforce it if they don't. Did you see Greinke the other day? Wait for a guy, like a guy got comfortable for about half a second and then gave him a look like, huh, you're going to throw the pitch that quick? Like, yeah, man, we're all trying to do this. You don't get to just take as much time as you want. So I get that, but I don't think the music has any impact on it. I think staying in the box once you get there, they're still going to have to walk to the plate. I don't think that they're like, I mean, this isn't like wrestling intros, right?
No, it is not.
They don't just like stand out there and dance before they go in.
It's also not Little League Baseball where it's hustle in, hustle out. Come on, guys. We're trying to get this in 2 hours. There is no time limit to a Major League Baseball game. There are things they can do to expedite the pace of the game. But, yeah, I don't think a guy making $20 million a year is going to be like, yeah, let me sprint to the plate. I think he's going to take his sweet-ass time.
And I'm all for figuring out ways to speed it up. But just, I looked up the average home run trot in Major League Baseball, it's 20 seconds. Do we really think that that's where we're falling out? Like, there's so many other things. Like, pitching changes, like, you've got to make real changes if you want. And part of it is just, like, keeping people in there, ready to hit. That's where most of the time is lost. They've shortened the commercial breaks to go down from there, so they've at least tried to cover themselves on that end. Like, I mean, there are plenty of pace of play problems. A lot of it is just about, like, getting players who want to play fast, and so much of that starts in the early going. Like, just throwing them to the wolves on it is an interesting approach. And if you want to back up the, you know, for some reason you decide you want to, you know, back up the fences because you feel like there are too many home runs and that's taking extra time. I don't know. I mean, how long does it take someone to leg out a double to second that has to have a throw come in and all that? I mean, it's about the same, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it's
like
kind
on that one, I can't imagine there's a huge difference there.
No, I wouldn't think so. And it's kind of a chicken versus egg thing. You mentioned it trying to start it at the, you know, youth level and work it all the way through. The problem with that is if you're a, I don't know, 8-year-old kid, 6-year-old kid, 10-year-old kid, what are you doing? You're watching your favorite sport and you emulate what the professional players are doing. So to try and dictate something to major leaguers and then make it work all the way down would be the way that you'd have to do it. But I think we've gone too far down this hole to really try and institute a rule to make that happen.
I think the simplest way to fix it is just to
enforce
the simple rule of keeping them in the box. Like, that's the way I would do it before I did anything else. But, I mean, it's not an easy problem to solve. I get what James is trying to get at. Like, just, you know, force them into it. And, hey, MLB, the one problem with that, like you're saying, like, we're just going to play into these rules or not. The one problem with that general theory is that that's really, really hard to do in Major League Baseball because their union is crazy strong. Like, they do not get bullied around like some other leagues. They would not take, like, what the NFL owners did about the national anthem policy. Like, hey, cool, so this is the policy now. Suck it. No rule. Like, either do it or don't. We're doing this. These are the way we're handling this. Major League Baseball's got way too much power than that. 913-3818 is the number. We'll get back to your calls a little bit later on. But we'll take a break here. We're at the Big O Tires out at the Legends. That's where there is a mountain of free pizza, Charlie. Mountain of free Pizza Hut pizza. Plus, great tire deals all month long as they're celebrating their grand opening here at Big O Tires at every location in the Kansas City area. We're out at the Legends where there is tons and tons and tons of free pizza. So come out and see us here at Big O Tires at the Legends. We'll be back with Andy Edwards on more of the World Cup next year on Sports Saturday.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Continue some of our World Cup coverage here. Sports Saturdays, we're live at Big O Tires. Tons of free Pizza Hut pizza. Also, great tire deals, buy two, get two free on selected stock tires. So come out and see us here at the Big O Tires. Those deals run all month long. So if you can't come see us now, get out to Big O Tires in the month of June. So they're celebrating their grand opening, and they will make sure to take care of you. Andy Edwards joins us next year to continue our World Cup coverage, though, on Sports Saturday. Andy, how come nobody told me that the Icelandic team was made full of giants?
Well, they're Vikings, right? What are they supposed to be? Little Vikings?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. They actually fit the role so perfectly.
Yeah, and it's a totally different kind of team to what we saw from them a couple years ago at the European Championships when they became the darlings of everybody's hearts and kind of took the world by storm and made it all the way to the quarterfinals. They beat England in the round of 16, and they were kind of a dark horse pick to, I think, really do something at this tournament at the World Cup. And I was just a little disappointed to see the way that they came out and just did nothing but defend for 90 minutes. But, you know, it's not the worst strategy in the world against a team like Argentina.
Well, and if you get a point against Argentina, and they essentially just did everything they could to box in Messi, which worked, right? He didn't get a goal against him. He had a couple of pretty big chances, which I think Jed pointed out, that probably speaks pretty highly of Messi, of the fact that he was still able to get two PKs and essentially a defense designed specifically just to stop him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I will say he sees that on a weekly basis when he's playing for Barcelona, and a lot of weeks he sees it twice a week and three times a week. He is the one of the handful of players in the world that you do have to completely change your entire defensive game plan to account for him. Very similar to what you would see in basketball with kind of a transcendent type player, a player that has one skill that is so great that you have to account for that at all times. Steph Curry being, you know, the obvious comparison, the range that he has. Messi, similar range, but also just the connectivity and the vision and the creativity that he has to really fashion a chance out of absolutely nothing in any moment from anywhere on the field. I thought they did a pretty good job of keeping him under wraps. But like you said, you know, he is always going to find those couple opportunities within a game. It's also going to happen when you've got almost 80% of possession in a game. I'm looking at it here, 78%. It's been a long time since I've seen a number that big. It's typically not that lopsided. And when teams kind of commit to bunkering in defensively, there's at least an attempt to get out on the counterattack and try and hit you the other direction when you've got all your numbers forward. That wasn't really the case for Iceland. It was, all right, we'll try to hold the ball up a little bit in the middle third of the field. If we can get one or two guys forward to kind of support that attack, then maybe we'll think about pushing on. But really, they were playing for set pieces, whether it was free kicks or corner kicks. And with the size that they have in that team, it, you know, again, it's not a bad strategy. It doesn't make for the best soccer in the world to watch, I guess, unless you want to see just Messi highlights and see him get infinite opportunity on the ball. But you know, they've set themselves up pretty well now, having, you know, as you said, to get a draw against Argentina in the toughest game of the group, the first game of the group, to not have 0 points, to not have kind of a lopsided goal differential. They're in a pretty good spot now.
They were fine with that, right? But Argentina's got to be disappointed with the result, because this is where they thought they were going to pick up 3 points.
Yeah, I think they're disappointed. I think a lot of people will be disappointed. But I came into this World Cup very down on Argentina, and not because of Messi. I know what Ronaldo did yesterday. I'll continue to argue with everyone in the world that Messi's still better. And that one day, you know, that one performance, be it unbelievable from Ronaldo, is not going to change that in my mind. But he doesn't have a team around him. He hasn't had a team around him for 5 or 6 years with Argentina. He willed them and dragged them to the final of the World Cup in 2014. He dragged them to back-to-back Copa America finals in, I believe, 2015 and 2016. So 3 straight summers, he took them to finals. Now, they lost all 3 of those, and that's going to always be a bit of a blemish on his record. But it was because of him that they got there, and that hasn't been figured out. They have no midfield. They have no athleticism, no open field ability, the speed that you need along the back line, I think, to really hang with what are going to be the top teams in the world when you get to the knockout stages. If it's France or Brazil or Germany or any of those, I think they might just absolutely shred Argentina, and we could see, you know, a 5 or a 6 put up against them. So maybe first game, you know, kind of getting their feet under them just a little bit. Maybe 1-1 against Iceland is, you know, for them as well. Maybe it's not the worst result in the world.
When you're looking at Iceland, because every time, you know, it's compared to American soccer, certainly, Andy. Like, when you look at a country of Iceland size, and we're talking about population size of very small, does it make it extra embarrassing that the U.S. can't get in? And they had to go through Europe, man. Like, they had to go through Europe to get in, and they're, like, how are they not, like, the question always, and by the way, I always use this caveat, because we shouldn't say American soccer, because the women's team consistently is one of the best in the world. So they have been able to use their size as a country to their advantage, and the U.S. hasn't. Like, when you see teams like Iceland at their size get people through, that probably tells you all you need to know about how far back American soccer still is.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of layers to that entire thing when you're comparing, you know, the U.S. for the U.S. men's program to other countries, no matter how big or how small they are. Obviously, you know, Iceland is the smallest nation to ever qualify for the World Cup. I think their population is about 320,000, which, if you think about it, is ridiculous. It's about 1% of what the U.S. population is.
It's 50,000 less than Wichita.
Wow. As someone who's been to Wichita a handful of times in my life, that's really striking. But I think the thing that Iceland have done so well over the last, and it's really been about a 20 or 30 year process. So when, and you have to keep that in mind, when people say, well, we got to fix U.S. soccer, we got to fix the men's team by 2022 and 2026 when we host the World Cup so that we can be competitive and get to a semifinals, it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't work like that. Now, that process has been ongoing for quite a few years since MLS was born in 1996, and really more so since about 2006 or 2010. When teams started their own academies and they began developing more players and really just had an idea of what they were doing and how to run an organization. But the thing that Iceland has done is they have made coaching education either completely free to anyone that wants it or dirt cheap. So they have and I forget the exact numbers. I wish I had them in front of me, but they have something like 10 or 20 times more qualified, licensed, top level coaches in Iceland, raw numbers, with 320,000 population than we do here in the U.S. with 300 and some million people, because it's been made affordable. It's been made accessible to anyone and everyone. And that's not the case here. It costs a ton to play the sport of soccer as a kid. And that's a deterrent. That's a hurdle for a lot of people to get over, but it costs a ton to get coaching education in this country as well. And that's something the U.S. soccer, with their $100 million surplus that they've got sitting in the bank, and with the new president and needing to have kind of this revolution of soccer for the men's program, that's something that they could very easily bridge that gap, I think, and make a massive difference in a pretty short time frame. In about 10 years, I think it could have an impact if you start at the U14 and U16 level, and then you start working your way back down to everyone else. That's playing the long game, and that's playing it very, very smartly. And we've not done that for a long time. So, and by the way, I don't think it's more embarrassing. I think it's plenty embarrassing on its own that we went down to Trinidad and all we had to do was draw on the final day. And we knew that going in. It's not like results elsewhere meant that we had to. We knew that going in and just couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's bad on its own. Sporting seeing some fruit of their own academy, right? They've pulled up multiple young guys that have come up and played for them. So it's not that some teams aren't seeing some of the fruits of that labor, like getting guys in the academy system young. The question is, some of that's like cultural. Like, that's so big everywhere else. I still think that there's some reservation about academy systems here, because it's, it's AAU to college to this. Like, people just don't treat, like, soccer's kind of got its own system. I like that the American – I like that they're adopting the European model for soccer, because that's the way it's worked.
Yeah, and I think you have to, because it is such a global sport, and you'll get guys that will move, from other leagues to MLS and MLS to other leagues in a way that you don't see in, the NBA or MLB. There's a gap in player development right now. And I think teams are developing very good players. I think they don't know how to implement them and integrate them into their first team very well. And that is an issue. And that's something that Sporting have tried to, they've tried to solve by having the Swope Park Rangers, their USL team, so that they can take those academy kids who are, in some cases, nowhere near ready for the first team, the MLS team, some that are almost there, but they need a little bit more seasoning, and they can play those games. Now, then you run into the exact same kind of issue when you're talking about going from MLS to the national team. There is a big gap there. There's so many players in MLS, so many American players that are deserving of consideration, but probably not probably shouldn't be immediately into the team. And for so long, that the bridge between those two things has been, well, go play in Europe and prove yourself at a higher level and continue to develop further, become an even better player, and then you're almost a shoe-in for the national team. And so if there were 23 guys that filled all the positions just perfectly that just so happened to be playing in Europe, they would pretty typically be the 23 guys that would get called up, and there would be 2, 3, maybe 4 guys from MLS that would kind of stand out, or that they would want to get a look at, and they would get to call in. But then after 2014, the World Cup, we saw almost every well-known American international that was playing in Europe, whether it's Michael Bradley or Jozy Altidore or Tim Howard or Brad Guzan, Alejandro Bedoya, could keep going and going. They all came back to MLS, and they all got massive paydays. And so now there's a huge imbalance between those two things, and it was imbalanced towards the European players for so long, and now it's imbalanced towards the MLS players. So, there's no direction, it feels like, with U.S. soccer, and it feels like it's non-soccer people running it like a business, which is kind of what it has been for a long time, even though it's a nonprofit organization, and they really do need to get the soccer people, the soccer minds, the soccer brains in charge of those decisions.
Any other surprises in the earlier games for you? France was expected to beat Australia, Portugal, and Spain, which was supposed to be the highlight of these first couple of games. Ends up in a draw. I know Iran got the late goal against Morocco, which is not something anybody. And the Uruguayans were kind of a sexy, like, sleeper pick, I think, out of South America for the teams. Any other surprises in those earlier games for you?
Yeah, I was talking with Jed before I came on, and I was a little disappointed in Uruguay. I'm very high on them. Obviously, they've got the easiest World Cup group of all time, statistically at least, and I think I would have expected a little bit more of them. But it's also the first game of the tournament, and I think at a certain point, you're just trying not to knock yourself out and give yourself something to build on going forward. I think the most surprising thing for me, though, was the Spain and Portugal game, that it was a good game. Typically, when we get these group stage games it happens every time. There's two, maybe three in the group stage where just giants get drawn together. And the fact that this is, a neighborly rivalry between these two countries, it gets hyped up so much. And the fact that it's the first game, you are trying not to lose it and put yourself, behind the eight ball to start the group. And so it's a terrible game. There's very little cohesion. There's very little fluidity, few chances, almost never any goals. And they gave us six of them. And Ronaldo gave us three of them. And it was just haymaker after haymaker, end to end, back and forth. The momentum that swung in that game was awesome to watch. It was also exhausting to watch because – Spain got ahead finally at 3-2, and you think, all right, there's no way this team with the veterans that they've got, they're going to give up another one. And then just a really stupid foul outside the box. And Ronaldo, I mean, he could have picked the ball up with his hand and walked it over the goal line and probably couldn't have placed it any better than he put that free kick.
No, and I don't know. Like me, I just assume he's like personally taking out on the entire Spanish national team, having to pay up $21 million in back taxes or something. And he's just like, you know what? I'm going to show you guys something real quick here, just while we're out here on the field. By the way, my Jed, who was – I couldn't make our World Cup fantasy draft because I had to go to work. But Jed was there as part of our alignment. They drafted Messi instead of Ronaldo, and I've given them endless amounts of trouble for it. You obviously have hindsight now, but if you had the second overall pick in a fantasy World Cup draft, who would you have taken?
The first guy who went was Neymar. Yeah, I'm not sure I would have gone for either of them. Jed asked me a little bit of advice a week ago when I came on and talked with Brad, and I told him Antoine Griezmann, who did score a goal today for France. Ronaldo, Messi, it's just such a neither one of them like have the teams around them. I don't feel like to really sure. prop them up and support them, and I don't think Portugal makes a deep run. So, I missed the World Cup Fantasy Draft. It was a lot of fun 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm just curious. We're just trying to get a feel for our team. We got at least one goal out of Pogba, so we got something. We got something today. It's not much, Andy. It's not much. I got to take what we can get on this end. For the rest of the matches today, Peru and Denmark, Croatia, Nigeria. None of those stand out as being teams that kind of stand above the rest. I know we've got Germany and Mexico tomorrow. Who are some of the other, if people are trying to keep an eye out, knockout round stage finalist. I know we know some of the big boys, right? People mentioned Uruguay and Spain and France and Germany and Belgium, right? Who are some of the other teams that people ought to be keeping an eye out for that might surprise people?
I'll throw Croatia into that group. They are every tournament that they go to, they're the dark horse pick, the kind of the sexy. I know a little bit about soccer, and so I know this band that hasn't quite gone mainstream yet, but one day you're going to find out about them. That's always kind of them, and I feel like that they have all those players that we've been waiting for to have a really big impact on the international stage for about 10 years now. They're all right around 30 years old. It's their last go-around, and they're playing for some of the biggest clubs in the world, whether it's Luka Modric at Real Madrid, who've won three Champions Leagues in a row, Mario Mandzukic playing for Bayern Munich for a while, for Juventus now. They are deep, and they have an established style. Very possession-oriented, unbelievable technical players on that team. So I think they could really, a quarterfinal run from them would not surprise me whatsoever. Mexico is obviously another big one, but they've been stuck into a really tough group with Germany. And obviously that's who they're going to open with. And Sweden and South Korea are no pushovers either. But Belgium has to be the one that really makes the leap into – maybe not into elite territory, but very, very close to doing so in this tournament. Obviously, everybody knows all their players and everything. They play for just about all the biggest clubs in the world. Sure. But on the international, at international competitions, they've just not been able to put it together the last couple times around. They were young. They had a lot of talent that didn't really fit together now. And I think it fits together a little bit. I just worry about their manager, Roberto Martinez, who is the classic, you know, I'm too smart for my own good, and I'm going to make this as complicated as I possibly can when it doesn't need to be, when sometimes the simple thing, the simple formation, the simple decision, what have you, is the right way to go. So I'm a little bit leery of that. But in terms of teams that are entertaining to watch as well, there might be no better value for your money than Belgium.
Well, and I guess that's, you know, like when you're talking about every part of that, like that's part of me, like, oh, the coach. I'm like, man, Spain fired their coach like 2 days before the World Cup. Like, of all the weird coaching decisions, that one certainly stands out there too, Andy. But we got to let you go, but we obviously appreciate the time. Do you change your pick at all? You still feeling like the same? Did you pick Belgium to win at all? Is that right?
No, I picked Spain. Obviously not.
You're feeling different
the
after they
their coach. So I don't know. I can change that at any time.
Yeah.
I feel like if you fire your coach the day before it starts.
I agree. You get a redo. Who would you like to pick the rest of the way now?
Who would I like to pick now? Well, I had him over France in the final, so I guess I'll just go with France.
France, easy. We've got a couple of French players on our fantasy team, so we'll work that direction too, Andy. We appreciate it, Andy, and I guess enjoy the rest of the day. I'm assuming this is like for you. This must be like NCAA tournament time. Just one soccer game after the other, always worth watching, right?
That's the best way to put it. I just wish they were all afternoon and evening and night like the tournament is.
I know, but sometimes we get that. It just depends on the World Cup. You know that. A little bit of that. So appreciate the time, Andy, and we'll catch you again next time.
All right, sounds good.
Andy Edwards here on Sports Saturdays, where Big O Tires. We're going to be here for a little while longer, but the free pizza will remain. There will continue to be free pizza here at Big O Tires, and will continue to be here as we'll get you great deals all summer long as Big O Tires is celebrating its opening. That's right, national opening here in Kansas City. There are stores all around. Go to their website, BigOTires.com, to check out the nearest location, and you can get some of the phenomenal deals like buy two, get two frees on select tires and so many other deals here at Big O Tires. We'll come back and we'll finish up here for Sports Saturday at Big O Tires here on Sports Radio 810.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Finishing up here for Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810 as we're live at Big O Tires. Still going to be pizza here when we take off, so make sure to get yourself covered. There's free Pizza Hut pizza out here at Big O Tires, and they're celebrating their grand opening. Jed, I don't know if you need new tires. You might.
I do, actually.
Oh.
So I'll have to stop
by. I'm about 6 months out probably from doing that, so I'm hoping they'll still be running awesome deals around that time. Maybe I should just buy them and then store them and then wait to put them on later.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's what, like, responsible adults would do. Be like, this is a good time to buy tires. I'll buy them now, and then when I need to put them on the car, I will.
Well,
plus, it says...
It's also one of those things, too, where we've reached a point in our life where, like, buying tires is actually, like, kind of a big deal. It's one of those adult investments that you need to do, not necessarily something you want to do, but Big O Tires makes it where you're not, you know, you don't mind. You get two free tires. What a great deal.
I mean... Part of it is I can't, like, as a kid, that's one of those things that you never realize you have to pay for. Anybody who thinks, like, being 17 sucks is an idiot.
Oh, yeah. It's these interns who come in that I see, like, running around. One of them's like, oh, I'm graduating in 3 years, 3.5 years. Fool.
It's like, oh,
fool.
So busy. I gotta get ready for that psych test.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
Well,
God, what a tough life.
To me, it's just so funny that they want to leave college early. I'm like, to do what? To start working? Trust me. I've been working for, you know, like 13, 14 years now as like a full-time professional. It sucks. It's the worst. And I have a fun, good job, like cool job.
Yes, you don't even have to like go, I don't know, work at, I'm trying to think of what's an example of a job I wouldn't kind of want to go work at. There are plenty of them, honestly. Like be an accountant. That sounds terrible, Jed. I don't want to do that, and I'm good with numbers.
One of my exes was an accountant. It sounded miserable every day when I'd talk to her.
Just, like, what'd you do? I don't know. I used a calculator, looked up some stuff. entered some things into an Excel spreadsheet, like, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, that was essentially our conversations. That's maybe why she's my ex-girlfriend.
Maybe. I mean, you know, there's lots of reasons that might not have worked out, Jed. Look at yourself first, I'd say, before.
No, Cody, I got it all going on, man. That's clearly not the issue. Everybody knows that I'm perfect, but we don't need to spend more time on that.
We only have about 90 seconds, and it's something I'm going to get into more on Baseball Tonight pregame, but I at least wanted to get your opinion here, Jed. Since a good Junis let up three more homers yesterday, leads the majors in that. Now, it's the Astros. They're good at it. But his ERA is up at, like, 4.5? And he was the could-do-no-wrong, what, even three starts ago he was the do-no-run guy. Keeps letting up home runs, continues to be a problem. Do you foresee this being who Jacob Junis is? Or is it, you know, is he being the victim of, like, the way baseball is with home runs?
Man.
Or is he just, man, I mean, it's trouble, right? I mean, he's not, like, dead in the water, but it's a worrisome trend.
Yeah, for sure. It certainly is troubling, and it's now getting to the point where maybe major league teams actually have a book on him. So that to me is what's scary more than anything.
I still think he needs to firmly develop a third pitch. Like, just for when that slider, Duffy's learning this now, like in his bad year, and Junis' numbers are better than Duffy's this year, and when his slider isn't there, he needs the changeup to be an out pitch. Like, that's the difference. When his slider isn't there, he doesn't have another out pitch. His fastball's not overpowering enough to get him there. That's the thing that I think he really needs to work on. Which happens. I mean, baseball players develop a third pitch all the time. They got cruised by a 37-year-old Charlie Morton last night, so never say never to your possible dreams. Thanks to Jed on the other side. Thanks to Matt Verderam. And thanks to Big O Tires for having us out here. There's still free pizza. Register to win all the free awesome stuff as well. Big O Tires and Legends. And throughout the month of June, we will see you guys back for baseball tonight at noon.